You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse 10, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse 10. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with a SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, and then I pray for everyone who comes one by name, as the Holy Spirit leads according to His beautiful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Everybody in the world is also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, True Social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place, which is very healthy, is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. As the curtain comes up on 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 10, the prophet Samuel, obeying God, has anointed Saul of the tribe of Benjamin to be the first king of Israel. God didn't want that, but the people asked, so God said, okay, you can have what you ask for, but don't think it's going to be a blessing to you. Samuel says, when you depart from me, there's some things going to happen to you. And when they happen, this will prove to you that God has called you to be the first king, man king of Israel. And so everything happened just as Samuel prophesied. And Saul met a school of prophets coming down from Bethel, the house of God. They prophesied. The Spirit of the Lord God came on Saul, and then he prophesied. Wow, he was not that other man who lost his donkeys. Now he was another man with the anointing of God, called, chosen, and elected. Amen. Therefore, from God's heart, to my heart, to your heart, what to do, what not to do when the Lord has chosen you. What to do, what not to do when the Lord has chosen you.
Verse 10. And when they came thither to the hill, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them.
In the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter is established. Now Saul is prophesying.
Verse 11. And it came to pass when all that knew him before time.
Now the hill was back at Saul's home, where his dad Kish lived. He was there that knew him before. These are people who grew up with him. They saw his skinned knees. They saw his dirty socks. Now they're going to be amazed that someone they grew up with who loses his donkey is a prophet.
So that he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?
When God has called you and chosen you, do not be discouraged that your own family, your closest friends, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your children, do not believe that you're anointed. Jesus said in Matthew 13, a prophet is not without honor, but his own country. Familiarity breeds contempt. Remember, they saw your dirty socks. It's difficult for them to understand that the anointing now is on you. Don't get discouraged.
Verse 12. And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father?
In other words, they are saying, those other prophets, the school of prophets, I mean, they came from parents who were mighty men of God. But look at Saul. His daddy's Kish. He takes care of donkeys. When God has called you, do not be upset when people think you don't come from the right family. Do not get upset about that. God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Amen.
Wherefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets?
A proverb there from the original Hebrew is astonished. In other words, they were so astonished that from then on in, every time anything astonishing happened, it had nothing to do with Saul, they would say that. It was just like, you know, we're astonished.
Verse 13. When he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place.
High places he went to worship. When God has called, chosen, elected you, go to church. Make sure you find a church where the leader there understands your calling, where the Word of God is taught, book, chapter, verse, and line, where the Holy Spirit moves, the gifts are there, and where prayer is the power. You're going to need that. You need the fellowship. You need the encourage. Find a place of worship. Go every time the door opens, Sunday and or Saturday, if that's your Sabbath, midweek, and go where someone, the leader, knows you're called.
Verse 14. And Saul's uncle said unto him.
Now this is uncle.
And to his servant, whither went ye?
You've been gone, nephew. Where'd you go?
And he said, to seek the asses.
I went to find my donkeys.
And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel.
We couldn't find them, so then we bumped into the prophet Samuel and thought he could tell us where they were. When God has called you, God will order your steps to an anointed man or woman who sees that you're called, chosen, elected. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, you probably won't know it. You'll be driving over the Hubert Humphrey Bridge and turn the radio on, and there's a woman who's anointed. Or you'll come to school to study music lessons. You won't know it at first. That was a divine appointment.
Amen.
And that person is going to say to you, you're called, you're chosen, you're elected. Now is the time to get up and be what God tells you to be.
Amen.
Verse 15. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you.
Everybody and the uncle knows that Samuel is a prophet of God. And the prophet of God doesn't do small talk. How's the weather? How's your house? A prophet of God doesn't do much chit-chat. They'll try it, but they're going to say the word of God. So uncle says, what does prophet say to you? I mean, did he give you a word? When you're called, chosen, elected, don't be discouraged when your relatives don't think you could possibly understand a prophet.
Verse 16. And Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spake, he told him not.
Saul did a very wise thing. He just said he told us where the donkeys were. He did not tell his uncle that he had just been anointed to be the first man king of Israel. Listen. When God appoints and calls and chooses you, do not tell everybody you meet. The inclination is because it's so exciting. They'll pour cold water on it. If you're married and that person doesn't understand, don't tell them. Don't tell your father or mother if they don't understand. Don't tell your brother or sister. Don't tell your best friend. Don't even tell some of the Christians in church, because most Christians in church, God bless them, but they're watching the show. You wait until God brings you to that appointed person. Tell them.
Verse 17, and Samuel called the people together unto the Lord at Mizpah.
Now remember early in Samuel, the people had come to the prophet Samuel and said, we like God, but we want to have us a man king like everybody else. Well, God didn't like that, or Samuel didn't like that, but God says, okay, if you don't want me, I'll let you have a man king. So Samuel sent them all home and said, I'm going to call you and tell you when the Lord tells me who your king is. Now, keep in mind that Samuel has already been told that Saul is the first man king of the tribe of Benjamin. He knows this, but he's going to have to let the people know it so they'll know that God selected this man king.
Verse 18.
12 tribes have come up. They announced him as Paul Watchtower. They got their donkeys. They got their food. They got their baggage. 12 tribes of Israel. Each tribe, just thousands of people. Wow, what a meeting. Which tribe would it be?
And said unto the children of Israel.
So Samuel's going to preach to them because, of course, he knows they displeased God.
Thus saith the Lord God of Israel.
This is what God says to you, says the man of God, the word of God coming out.
I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians.
You were in slavery, and I led you out with a mighty hand.
And out of the hand of all kingdoms.
And when I got you to the promised land, there were all kind of heathen kings there. Psalm 68. They fought you. They stole your stuff. But I beat them back for you.
And of them that oppressed you.
All that oppressed you. I delivered you out of oppression.
Amen. Verse 19. And you have this day rejected your God.
Nation, you have rejected your God.
Who himself saved you out of all your adversities.
And he saved you.
And your tribulation.
And your trouble.
And you have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us.
Look how you treat the Almighty God who loves you so, who blesses you so, who gave you so much. You say, no, we want to be like the world.
Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands.
Okay. Samuel knows, but they've got to see. They've got to hear God's choice. All the 12 tribes come up by their families. Now, what Samuel's going to do, he's going to put on a priest vest. And then you can read about that in Exodus chapter 28. It's called an ephod. It has a pouch in it with a supernatural device blessed by God. It's called the Urim and the Thummim. And the man of God, a woman of God, can ask God a question. If the answer is yes, it'll light up. If it's no, it'll do something else. For God will speak through that. It's a type of what we have now after Jesus died, went back to heaven, and gave us the Holy Spirit. When a Christian has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I call it your Urim and your Thummim. And when you say, well, Father, in Jesus' name, by the Holy Spirit, should I say this? Should I give this? Should I do this? Should I go there? The Holy Spirit will tell you. And Scott and I will be praying, and something will say, and I'll say, Scott, my Urim and my Thummim says, no, 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 no. Or my Urim and my Thummim says, yes, 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 yes. Okay. So they know about that. They've got to see the light. They've got to hear what God says.
Verse 20. And when Samuel had called all the tribes of Israel to come near.
Everybody come near. Which tribe will it be?
The tribe of Benjamin was taken.
Okay, the Urim and Thummim said Benjamin. Of course, we knew that. And Saul is of the tribe of Benjamin. It is the smallest tribe of all. Don't forget in the book of Judges that the men of Benjamin had sexually abused a Levite's concubine until she died. all the other tribes came after Benjamin and almost wiped them out. So this is not the greatest tribe here in the eyes of the people. But again, God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Amen. You might feel like you're the least. You think you don't have any talent. You're not good up talking before people. There's nobody there that says, go for it, you can do it. But God chose you. Amen. So get up and do it.
Verse 21, when he called the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken.
What they did, each tribe had lots and lots and lots of families, okay? So then they had to find out which family of that, I mean, out of all the thousands. In the Hebrew, there's no word for grandfather or great-grandfather, so Matri there is probably like the grandfather of Kish, who is the father of Saul. So everybody know it's Saul.
And when they sought him, he could not be found.
Saul hid himself. It's very smart. When you're called and chosen, just before you step up to the plate, whatever it is to do, do not chit-chat with people. It will spread your energies and the anointing will leave you. If you notice, I'm not out here to talk with you before I come on. You notice I come in?
Yes.
I hid myself to be with God for a while. If you start socializing before whatever you to do, the anointing will go, your energies will spread. So you have to hide yourself, but not long, but a little while.
Amen.
Jesus did that. Boy, he was working all the time, early morning, late night. The disciples couldn't find him. He hid himself 3 o'clock in the morning, praying.
Verse 22, therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither.
When God has called you, if you're not immediately available, they'll say, huh, you're not there for me. I'll try somebody else. You can't be there. You have got to pray every day for hours until the Spirit comes down. You've got a million people to pray for by the Spirit. You've got to study the Bible. You've got to hear from God. You've got to fast. You've got to listen hours and hours. What God? What God? What God?
Amen. Amen.
You can't be there for everybody, but you love them.
Amen.
And you pray for them. That's better. That's better than chit-chat.
Amen.
And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff.
There's a lot of stuff there. Saul hid behind that. I do hope he's praying. Now, when you're called, chosen, and elected, while you do, hide yourself before you. Do whatever God's called you to do to pray in prayer. Don't hide too long. There is a point when God says, it is time for you to do what I called you to do. If you delay too long, it'll be too late. You can miss your destiny. See, most of you are waiting until the business is right, the money's right, the mate's right. You want to do this, you want, no, no, no. If he's told you, get up and do it now. Because if you delay, he might pass you by. I'll tell you something about my life. I have never, ever, in all of my 85 years, had anybody or anyone or enough to do what God has told me to do. I've never had anybody say, here it is. It's never been there. But I knew when I was called, $45 to start a school, the beginning of this. See, some of you are waiting for millions of dollars. Where's your faith? If you wait too long, it'll be too late. Thank goodness Samuel's going to come out. Saul's going to come out.
Verse 23. And they ran and fetched him thence.
Now that looks kind of bad. When you're called, chosen, and elected, God's going to call somebody to drag you out. You're going to get mad at him. I can't yet, Sherry, because I got to do it. Now, come on out. This is your appointed time. Pay attention to those people.
And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward.
He was taller than everybody. Doesn't that look presidential? Doesn't that look like a king? If you get my gist.
Verse 24. And Samuel said to all the people, "See him whom the Lord hath chosen?"
Samuel says, "See, you want a king? He's tall, he's good looking." Because God knows that people look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Amen. When you're called, chosen, and elected, the people you serve are going to expect you to wear your hair a certain way, to have your teeth fixed, to be dressed a certain way, to act a certain way, to have a certain color of skin. You're not here to please them.
Amen.
The reason God chose you, he looked on your heart.
Praise the Lord.
There is none like him among all the people.
When you're called, chosen, elected, you're not going to be like everybody else. Certainly not lost people. But you're not going to be like everybody else in the church. We love them. Everybody in the church is special. Everybody's got their own talents and gifts. But you are sanctified. You're set apart for holy use. You're anointed. You don't think the way they do about money. They would think you are crazy what you do your money. You give it all away. You don't act like they do about your body. You wait for the Lord to heal you. You don't pray like them because the Holy Spirit prays for you. I shall call them because, oh, glory to God. You don't live like everybody else. Every moment is God. God says you are one of a kind, peculiar, not strange, unusual, unique. You have a mission, you have a purpose, and you can't think commonly. You don't do on your cell phones what everybody else is doing. You use it for God's work. You don't go to the same places. You don't have the same friends. You're unique.
Amen.
You're set apart for holy use.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
And all the people shouted and said, "God save the king."
This is the first time the 12 tribes of Israel have had a man king. Before it was God. Now the 12 tribes would grow and migrate, but all through the thousands of years, every king and queen has sat on that throne. They said, "God save the king." David would sit on it. God said, "There's always going to be someone to sit on the throne of David." The tribes migrated, many of them into Great Britain. The Queen of England, they said, "God save the queen."
Verse 25. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom.
So Samuel said, "Okay, God was your king, and now you got a man king." But Samuel says, God has written in a book, Deuteronomy chapter 17, what this man king is supposed to be. And here's what he's supposed to be. So Samuel is going to teach them Deuteronomy 17. You might like to read it for homework. First of all, if you're called, chosen, and elected, he said of Saul, you must be of the seed of Abraham, not a foreigner. You must be of the seed of Abraham, not necessarily biologically, but guess who came through his lineage? Jesus. You must be saved. That's what you must be.
Amen.
You cannot be called chosen unless you're totally saved. Sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, he said the king must not do this for money. You're called, chosen, and elected. Now, while the Bible says a laborer is worthy of his hire, while the Bible says don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, you do not look to the people for money. Those who obey will return their tithe and offering Amen. To the storehouse. What you do, here's what I do. I've never had a salary. I've never had passed a basket. It's all right to pass a basket, but I don't do it. First of all, I'm a woman. I get enough criticism for that. Here's what I do. If I get $1, I return the tithe to God, which is 10 cents. But then I add an offering, and so I give 50 cents back to God. Amen. God's law of reciprocity multiplies it back. What you learn to do, do not say, I'm not going to do it unless you give me this much money. When he tells you, I taught my school 12 years, indigent people. Nobody could pay me one dime. Do you know I survived just by Amen. Telling you this?
Amen.
You might have to give up something. Don't forget Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, he that has left houses or lands or father or mother or brother or sister or son or daughter, given up the luxuries for my sake. Not only does he get everlasting life, but he will receive manifold blessings in this lifetime. God will supply your needs if you will obey him about money. So make sure you're called, chosen, elected. Return the tithe and an offering. God will put it on a few people's heart. I've got about a handful. Five. And I teach the whole world. I don't care. I have enough to share to give it to spare. I give to other ministries. I give to the poor. And if you need help, I'll give you my last dime. I say, you'll have it too. So you don't do it for money. Thirdly, Samuel tells them, Deuteronomy 17, the new king, and that's you, called, chosen, elected, must take a copy of the scripture from the priest. Only the priest had a copy then. Copy the whole thing out. But see, you can buy a Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. You must have a Bible, and you must read it every day. Just king must read the Bible every day Amen. And then do the Bible
Amen.
And lead the people according to God's word.
Amen.
You're called, chosen. You don't read those little devotional books, not one verse. You study, you read, you pray, you commune with God.
Amen.
And you do that word. Whatever that word says about your job, your money, your body, your relationships, your life, you just do it.
Amen.
Obedience brings blessings.
I wrote it in a book. I laid it out before the Lord.
Kind of like a constitution. Put it there in the tabernacle. Our constitution came from the common law of England, which came from those 12 tribes right there, which is from the Bible.
Amen.
As Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house.
You can go home now, people. You got your king. Hope you're glad.
Verse 26. And Saul also went home to Gibeah.
Now Saul wants to go see his dad. Remember, he's gone with the donkeys for days. But there's something happened here. When you're called, chosen, and elected, you can't go home again. Thomas Wolfe wrote a book, You Can't Go Home Again. It was turned a beautiful classical play. When I was young and beautiful, I played the heroine's role then. Oh, you'll want to go. You'll talk to mom and dad and brothers and sisters and your friends. You'll love them. They won't understand. You might be married. The person says, I love you, but I don't understand. They can't understand the heart. When you're called, chosen, elected, you're going to walk alone. But God is with you.
Amen.
And there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched.
Look at that. You never give up one thing, but God gives you something better. God had put it on the hearts of some of the citizens that King Saul was the king, and they were going to serve him. When you're called, chosen, and elected, while you don't have that heart understanding. God is going to touch people to realize that you are where they need to be. He's going to order their steps. While they will never, ever give you that inside understanding, they will be there. They will come. They will be a blessing to you because you love them and they love you. And you will pray together. God sets the solitary in families. He knows where everybody should be. So God's not going to leave you alone. He's going to bring you a family of God.
Amen.
Verse 27. But the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us?
Uh-oh. The children of Belial, in the Hebrew, lawless, wicked people. The law is the word. These are people who do not know the word. They'll say, I'm not going to let you be my leader here. When you're called, chosen, and elected, understand that not everybody is going to love you. Jesus was hated. They nailed him to a cross. The servant is not greater than the master. There will be people who, under that anointing, will love you. But there are going to be people in the very church who will hate you. Everybody in the church is not saved. You know where I get the most hate. I've gotten a few death threats because I teach the whole world. I got a few that said die, and stuff like that. The greatest criticism I get is from preachers. Because they're lawless.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They don't know the word.
Amen.
And I do.
Amen.
Do not let that discourage you. Jesus says, rejoice. You're going to be hated of all men for my sake. Rejoice. Great is your reward in heaven.
Amen.
For so persecuted that the prophets are for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Clap your hands.
Yes. Amen.
Every time I get a bad one, I say, thank you, Lord. I cry, of course.
And they despised him.
They hated him. Look how they hate Donald Trump.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God's called that man.
Yes.
I mean, his own people, the rhinos, Republican name only.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sign. He's called, chosen, elected to do what he's doing.
Amen.
And that'll be it. They actually just hate you.
And brought him no presents.
It was customary, it still is, when you go to visit a king, you take them presents. Okay. Do not be discouraged when you don't get presents. Do this. Say, what can I give you? Give them more than they give you. It is more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
I couldn't stand not to give. A day without giving is like a day without orange juice.
Amen.
But he held his peace.
Wow. He held his peace. When you're called, chosen, and elected, do not defend your calling. Do not explain your calling. Very few people are ever going to understand it. A few people will. But God chose you. Because he looked on your heart. What to do, what not to do, because God has chosen you.
Amen.
I pray you're blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you a man of God, the owner of the produce place. He loves his wife, he loves his son, he loves his daughter. I think he loves me because I'm his twin friend. Let's welcome Scott Merson.
Hey, Miss Sherry, how you doing?
Great. You love
me,
don't you?
I do. It was a great word.
I had a fish for a compliment there.
Yep.
David left the stuff in the car. Does he go put his stuff in the bag? What is Scott's stuff?
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:21.
Absolutely perfect. Now, that you got it right. Thank you. Great, Scott. Amen. Absolutely perfect. Before I pray for healing, let me pray for salvation. anybody in the world, cyberspace, anyone in here. If you're not saved, pray this prayer and mean it with all your heart, and God will save you. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I'm sorry for them.
I'm sorry for them.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Put me where you want me in your church.
Put me where you want me in your church.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
That Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. 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 Now for those who are in cyberspace, the book of Romans says with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell a lot of people. I invite you to tell me. Excuse me. In a moment, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call that. It's my voicemail. Leave your message there. And when I get it, I'll pray for you. And welcome to the family of God. You also may email me, and I'll give you that in a moment. Now, if you're a new Christian, the first thing you want to do is get a King James Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. I use King James because it's the only version that you could trace almost every word back to the original languages in which God dictated it: Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Syriac, and Chaldean. Then you want to start praying to the Father. Call him Father. That Father, in Jesus' name, find you a place in your home and pray and commune with him. Then go to church, find a church. Go every Sunday or Saturday is your Sabbath, and go to the midweek service and participate. Find a church where they teach the Bible one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Where the Holy Spirit is powerful, where they operate the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and where they have a powerful midweek prayer meeting, because it is a command that God's house should be called the house of prayer for all people. Now here's my email. Email me your questions. Some of you have questions emailed, and I'll read them on the air, Mr. Moment. Email me your prayer requests, your praise reports, your confession of faith. Here it is. Here's my email. S-H-A-R-I, Medlock, trumpetoftruth, @gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth, @gmail.com. The G is for God. Now, I'm going to pray for healing. I was praying about this, and the Holy Spirit led me to pray. There seems to be pressure. There's pressure in the head, pressure in the back, and pressure in the bladder. So in the mighty name of Jesus, pressure in the head, congestion causing this, the tightness there. In Jesus' name, let the congestion disintegrate. Let the congestion be loose. Get your Kleenex tissues out. Let the nasal passages run there. As that congestion comes out, as the nasal passages relieve, the pressure is gone. The pressure in your neck and your upper shoulders and your shoulder blades, in your lungs, in your chest, disintegrate congestion. Loose. Be healed. Let there be perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect flow of the blood. Lungs, breathe. Heart, the pressure be gone. Backbone, spine, the left shoulder blade, pressure gone. Right shoulder blade, pressure gone, in Jesus' mighty name. The bladder, there's a pressure there, like you almost feel like you've got to go to the bathroom when you don't, but it presses on you in the name of Jesus. Let the pressure be released from the bladder. Let the pressure be gone. Let any kind of infection there be healed. And let there be peace and ease. In the mighty name of Jesus, He sent his word and healed you. The pressures be gone, relieved from all distress, and comfort you on every side. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He knows what you need before you ask. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater loveth this than a man lay down his life for his friend. Give your all to him. I love you too. I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
through every changing moment. Find me at your throne. In every shifting season, find this heart bowed down. Through every stormy tempest and every circumstance, when life is at its brightest, oh, when shadows gather round, let me find my way to the place of praise. I will not bring that which cost me nothing. I will not bring that which cost me nothing. If the highest praise is a sacrifice, and the greatest song is to give my life, then I will not bring that which cost me nothing. When everything is easy, any heart can sing, but our deepest cry of worship will be heard within the flame. So I'm breaking through the silence to bring this broken song. And you'll hear my praises rising, rising forevermore. Oh, I will not bring that which cost me nothing. I will not bring that which cost me nothing. If the highest praise is a sacrifice, and the greatest song is to give my life, then I will not bring, oh, I will not bring that which cost me nothing. And I find my way to the place of praise again. Lord, I find my way to the place of praise again. And I find my way to the place of praise again. Oh, Lord, I find my way to the place of praise. who's at the loss to save. In the name of Jesus, the dead are raised. Yeah. Lift your eyes up to the sky. The Lord is coming, coming to America. Can you feel the fire? Can you see the wind? It's blowing through, it's coming to America. Let your glory fly, let your glory fly, let your glory fly for our country. Let your glory fly, let your glory fly, let your glory fly, let your glory fly. Could this be? Could it?